Blog Talk Radio.
Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. Or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You're listening to Black by Color only. Well, hello everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is your host and friend, DJ Southeast Vince, coming to you on this nice Saturday afternoon. Hope everything finds you doing well. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call in. The call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. You can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. But once again, be aware of the aforementioned fruit bat warning. If you're a person who likes to indulge in character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, gaslighting, excessive profanity, trolling, calling in just to disrupt the show, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye, okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, but be respectable, mature, and, you know, you should have a pretty good time on this show, you know? I'm not here to beat you over the head if you disagree with me or whatever. I am about the truth, and I will tell you the truth about what's going on. We all have our opinions. We all have our point of views, you know, but when it comes to the truth, all that goes out the window. Okay. And if you can't handle what I talk about on this show, then this is not the show for you. But anyway, once again, next Saturday, I will not be having a show. I will be taking a day off next Saturday. And on Saturday, Saturday, May the 20th, I will not be here, as me and my wife are going out of town, you know, taking a little rest and relaxation and whatever. But just want to let you all know that at the top of the program. Okay. Before I start the show, had a bit of a controversy come up on my Facebook page this week. This is not basically what I wanted to begin the show with, but it's something I do need to discuss. I want to let people know that I'm not caught up in tribalism or loyalty to sides or anything like that. I'm not a person who, if I criticize somebody of the others. Okay. I know I am a Christian black man who leans conservative, but that does not mean that if a Christian person or a conservative does something wrong, that I'm going to turn my face away and ignore it. Also, I don't believe in the judge not that ye be not judged argument, because a lot of people, they take that phrase and they rip it out of context. You know, a lot of times people say, well, you can't judge this person, you can't judge that person. And basically what they're saying is, don't tell a person what they're doing is wrong. They say, you know, things like love is love, and you don't have the right to judge anybody. Only God can judge. Now, if somebody can show me the book, the chapter, and the verse where that is contained in the Bible, then I will shut down my show. When the Bible talks about judge not that ye be not judged, it's saying don't judge unrighteously. Don't judge with an air of hypocrisy. Because as far as you know, as far as we should know, let me just say that, as far as we should know, we make judgments every day. We judge whether we should get up out of that bed in the morning when the alarm clock goes off. We judge whether we should go to that job to make money so we can pay our bills. When we go out to eat, we make a judgment about where we want to eat at. We make judgments all day, every day. You know, so that judge not that ye be not judged thing, you know, a lot of people take that out of proportion. And when you point out somebody's wrongdoing, when you point out what somebody is doing wrong, and then, you know, here comes this crowd, oh, don't judge, only God can judge. One thing about that is, basically, when you're telling me not to judge, you're telling me not to tell a person that what they're doing is wrong. And second of all, do you really want God to be your final judge? Because I'm just going to be honest with you. You call me Uncle Cool, I call you Sister Sharknado. What's up, sister? But do you really want God to actually judge you for the sins in your body? Because if God judges you, when you say a statement like, only God can judge me, I would be pretty scared of that. If you judge yourself first, then you won't have to be judged by God. And, you know, a lot of times people say, well, when you point out that homosexuality is a sin, it is a sin, just like lying, stealing, murder, cheating. Homosexuality is a sin. It clearly says so in the Bible. But you get people saying, oh, you shouldn't be judging. Don't be judging. Why you got to be so judgmental? Okay, so when this guy goes into a bank, points the gun, says, stick him up, shoots a couple of people, and, you know, he gets caught by the police and stands before the judge, we shouldn't judge him either. And basically, the reason why people make these statements is because they want to feel good about, you know, they don't want to rock the boat. They want to feel good about, you know, what they're in, you know, because a lot of people approve of homosexuality. And whether you're a homosexual or not, if you approve of homosexuality, you hear someone, you know, speaking out against it, you want to come to the homosexual's rescue and say, oh, don't judge them. Don't judge. No, I'm not judging you. The Bible says if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're condemned already. All I'm doing is giving you the message of what God has said. Now, given I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in, and I have to deal with my own flaws on a daily basis. And what the Bible means when it says, judge not that you be not judged, is make sure you judge yourself first before you judge anybody else. If you're caught up in the same type of activity as somebody that you're judging, then you are a hypocrite. That's what that means when they said, when Jesus says, judge not that ye be not judged. It doesn't mean just go around your life and you see people doing wrong and everything, just ignore it. You know, that's not what that means. And people keep pushing that. Don't judge. Don't judge. Don't tell people what they're doing is wrong. No, what you're doing is wrong, and it can lead you to hell. That's almost like saying, you know, and I probably used this analogy before, you know the road is out. The bridge is out. Storm came by, knocked the bridge out. You got a raging river, you know, that's replaced the damaged bridge. And you see a car coming, and you say, well, maybe I shouldn't tell him about the bridge being out, because he might not appreciate me telling him the bridge is out, because this might be his way. He gets home. He might be taking a shortcut. You know, I don't know his reason. So maybe I need to be quiet about that. And you don't say anything to that person about the peril that lies ahead of him, and he ends up dying as a result. Then the fault is on you, because you could have told that person, hey, this is leading to destruction. And you... sir, you're going the wrong way. You need to find another route. Now, if the guy said, man, bump you, I'm going to go this way anyway, I'll take my chances, then that's off of you. But when you hear these people say, only God can judge me, that should really scare you. Only God can judge me. Only God can judge me. So this week, as you all know, that I, like I said before, as a Christian who leans conservative, I've come across all types of conservative platforms. Now, like I said, I am not a tribalist. I am not a person like, you know what, this is the tribe I'm in, and I'm going to defend it no matter what. First and foremost, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to judge you accordingly. Now, what I saw this week, my wife was showing me a video of a man named Steven Crowder. Steven Crowder. And it was an episode of Candace Owens' program, Candace Owens, you know. Now, I don't believe Candace Owens is a Christian. I don't believe Steven Crowder is a Christian. He definitely ain't no Christian. But what I saw on that video, Steven Crowder was fussing his wife out. Lady is 8 months pregnant. I think the situation started because Steven Crowder wanted to something about spraying his dogs or something like that. I'm not so sure. And his wife didn't want to do it because the chemicals could affect her pregnancy. Gloves on, you know, something like that. You know, told her, you know, just put the gloves on. You know, put some gloves on. Now, I don't know what happened before that video, before that video surfaced or whatever. But, you know, I made my critique about that video. And what I saw in that video, Steven Crowder talking to his wife like that. Look, people, let me tell you something. I don't care what she said or did him before that video. You know, people criticized me and said, you're taking it out of context and you don't know what happened before then. And you know, there are two sides to every story. I understand that. And I'm the type of person where I will seek a matter out. But the way Steven Crowder was talking to his wife in that video was uncalled for. And people say, oh, you're taking it out of context. You're just taking it out of context. I would look, People were saying, well, you don't know what happened before then. And I don't care what happened before then. What I saw there was wrong on Steven Crowder's part. Now, you can judge it any way you want to. But what I saw on there, he's sitting there. He's criticizing his wife. He's telling her, I don't want you to take the car and all this type of stuff. And maybe she did say something that, you know, may have irritated him or something, but there was no reason for him to talk to his wife that way. Exactly, Retta. Exactly. And people were, oh, my God, I did not think that I would get the clapback on my Facebook page like I did when I posted my criticism of Steven Crowder. Now, I used to listen to Steven Crowder, not religiously, but after a while, I was like, something is not right with this guy. I liked some of the points he made. I wasn't totally in his camp. And I haven't really watched a Steven Crowder video in a couple of years. Because something just didn't sit right with me about the guy. And yes, Retta, that video was very despicable. I don't care what, I was telling my wife the other, just yesterday. I said, if your wife is 8 months pregnant and you're a husband, you should move heaven and hell to make sure her pregnancy is as comfortable as possible. He's sitting there smoking a cigar and sitting here criticizing her. Look, I don't care what she said or did to him. I don't give a rip pair of jeans. He has no right to be talking to his wife that way. And then you got the liberal pundits. They're out there pointing, see, look at this is how these conservative men treat their women. And you did the right thing, Retta. You did the right thing. I mean, I was totally disgusted myself. But the thing that really got me was people taking up for this guy. Oh, we just saw a clip. Oh, you just saw part of what, you don't know what happened before then. So tell me, the way Steven Crowder was talking to his wife in that video, would you condone another man doing that to his wife, especially if she is 8 months pregnant? 8 months pregnant. I told folks, I said, look, you know, if any brothers ever saw me doing that, I would hope that one of them puts a soup bone to my chin. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I have probably plucked my wife's nerves more times than not. I'm pretty sure of that. But I would never degrade myself to that level to talk to my wife in that manner that he talked to her. Oh, man. Retta, I'm going to call you Butter because you're on the roll. She said, conservatism doesn't mean Christianity. You can be an immoral conservative. Exactly. Just because you are conservative doesn't mean you are a Christian. That's why I try to convey on this program. You know, I might lean conservative basically because conservatism more closely relates to my Christianity. But just because you are conservative doesn't mean that I think that you're a Christian, that you got family morals and all that type of stuff, and that I'm just going to turn a blind eye when you do something, when you get caught up in some dirt. That's not how I roll. That's not how, if you call yourself a Christian and that's how you roll, then something's wrong with you. Something is very, very wrong with you. But what I saw on there was very detestable. And I said, you know what? Steven Crowder's done. He's done. stick a fork in them. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know gay conservatives, too. Milo Yiannopoulos, whatever his name is, he's a gay conservative. There are a lot of gays in the conservative movement. But does that mean that they're Christian, that they believe in it? No, uh-uh. Because like I said earlier, homosexuality is a sin. Yeah, bro, I know you're a conservative, and we might agree politically, but there's something that that rises above politics, and that's Christianity. That's God's word. But people don't, you know, a lot of times people don't, they, you know, I don't know why people try to get the two mixed up. Christians and conservatives are the same people, and they're not. But what I saw from Steven Crowder, I was like, yeah, he's done. Well, you don't know what his wife said to him or what she did to him. Now, what I saw in that video, she was the one wearing the pants. And when I say that, I mean she was the one being more mature. She was saying, Steven, I love you, yada, yada, yada. He was like, well, I don't love you. And I was like, whoa, dude. You're going to talk to your 8-month pregnant, and someone told me that this video was from 3 years ago. I don't care if it was from 3 seconds ago. He had no business talking to his wife that way. No reason to talk to his wife that way. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think I'll be married going on 19 years if I ever talk to my wife in that manner. Because I already made up in my mind, if I'm going to get married to this woman, you know, yeah, she might pluck my nerves. I know I'm a plucker. But that doesn't mean I have to be verbally abusive to her. And I know a lot of people say, well, if you're married and you don't have an argument, something's wrong with your marriage. Probably true. But there's a way that you go about making your argument. If you all have a confrontation, you're going to have disagreements when you're married. But I don't believe in, oh, you're a moron, you're stupid, and all that. No, uh-uh. I'd rather God take the breath from my life if I ever talk to my wife like that. If she made a little mistake and I call her stupid. No, she just made a mistake. Do you have common sense? Why do men talk to their wives like that? I don't understand that. Yeah, you're gonna have a disagreement. It might get heated too, but it doesn't mean that you all absolve your differences, acknowledge your wrongs, say, honey, I was wrong, or whatever, and move on. That's how me and my wife relate to one another. You know, like if I say something plus her nerve and she lets me know it and whatever, I don't clap back at her. Now, seeing how Steven Crowder was talking to his wife like that, I'm wondering if Steven Crowder ever hauled off and slapped his wife or whatever. Because to me, that's a big no-no. That's a huge no-no with me. I already see it. I think Retta, she's in my chat room, she may have heard me say this too. I say, look, if anyone ever gets word that I put my hands on my wife, I hope a bunch of brothers come, tie me up, bound, gag me, take me into the woods and bring me as close to death without it being illegal. Hey, Vince, we heard you been beating your wife. Come on, dude. Let's go on into the woods and let's take care of this real quick. Because, folks, I grew up in an atmosphere where my dad beat my wife. I mean, where my dad beat my mom. I grew up in that atmosphere. I grew up in an atmosphere where my dad would get on my mom for the least little things that would go on. And I always told myself, when I get married, it's not going to be that way with me. I'm not going to be like that. Because I told myself, if I'm going to get married to another woman, to a woman, I am going to marry her out of love, not out of convenience or waiting on the back door to open up when things get hard or anything like that. I remember in the 80s, my mom did something to my dad. My dad threw her down the steps and bruised her so bad, he didn't even punch her in the eyes, but she actually got black eyes from that. She had to cover it up in makeup because she had to get her pictures taken. And I said, I would never treat my wife like that. I would never do that. And this was before I became a Christian. This was before I became a Christian. I said, I will never treat my wife like that. And whenever I see a man verbally or physically abusing his wife, it does something to me. It really does something to me when I see that. It bothers me. Retta, no. I don't want you in there to put in a few licks. Nah. You might bring one of them Sharknadoes. But folks, this is not what I wanted to lead the show off with. You know, it just kind of fascinated me. It really made me marvel how people defended Steven Crowder. What I saw in that video was indefensible. And people were saying, you're taking it out of context. What am I taking out of context? What did I take out of context? You should not be talking to your wife like that, dude. I don't care what she did to you. I mean, for real. But folks were telling me I was in the wrong and that I shouldn't judge and all this. I was like, are you all crazy? But see, this is one of the things I believe is wrong in the world today. A lot of us, we just don't want to get involved. We say it's none of our business. When we see something going on that we could take care of, that we can deal with, we say, oh, it's none of my business. Oh, you see a crime being committed. Oh, that's none of my business. Someone breaking into someone's house. And you say, well, I'm not going to call the police because that's none of my business. It is your business. Especially if it's public. It is your business. People are telling me that. Oh, that's none of your business. Well, it's in the public. If I see something publicly, I'm going to speak on it. That's wrong. You know, I remember one time I was telling somebody, you know, I was debating with some people in my, at one of the jobs I worked at in the break room. And I was like, well, and I was telling them, I said, if you see someone committing a crime, shouldn't you tell the police? Because, you know, a lot of people, they got this no snitching thing. Shouldn't you tell the police of what's going on? Oh, no, that's none of your business. I said, well, then suppose that person goes murder somebody and you say, oh, that's none of my business. And then that person comes and kills you or kills someone you love. And someone talking about, oh, you talking about Spider-Man. I ain't talking about no Spider-Man. Now, there is a lesson to be learned in Spider-Man, even though he's a comic book hero. There's a lesson to be learned in that. When Uncle Ben tells Peter Parker, with great power comes great responsibility. I mean, think about that. You have the power to do this or to do that. There comes a responsibility with it. You don't just turn your head away. You see somebody who is being a victim of a crime. You should at least call the police. I remember a case in California with a lady named Kitty Genovese. I think she was a bar worker. This was in 1962, I think it was. Of course, that was 8 years before I was born. But, you know, the lady, you know, she got attacked. She got attacked several times. And no one even bothered to call the police. One guy said, oh, I was tired. I just went to bed. But I guarantee you, if any one of them were a victim of a crime, they'll be sitting there like, well, where was the police? How come no one helped me? Think about that, folks. Just think about it. But anyway, hey, Bianchi. Hey, Retta. Got to give my little shout-outs. Oh, I got two people. Got two people in my queue. All right. You all just hang tight. I'll get to you eventually. But I got to go on my, you know, one of the complaints, excuse me, one of the complaints that people have made about me on this program is that I always criticize black folks. More than I criticize white folks. Why are you always criticizing black folks? Why are you always criticizing black folks? Well, for one reason, I'm a black man. And by me being a group, being part of a black community or whatever, I want to see the best for my group, basically. Now, I'm not caught up in black and white and everything. I'm trying to hold black people above white people or anything like that. But just because I'm a black person does not mean that I'm not supposed to criticize those who have the same skin color. And see, here's the hypocrisy in all this. If I were to sit here and just rail on white folks every single week, nobody would say anything about it. Nobody would say, well, how come you only talk bad about white folks? You know, those same people, they won't say anything about that. One of the main reasons why I talk so much about the shortcomings in our black communities is because those are the communities really that need the most help. And when I say that, I'm talking about these are the communities that really need to take responsibility for their actions, because we see too much irresponsibility in black communities. Why in the world do we just turn a blind eye to when a black person does something, but when a white person does it, we're out in force. Blame the white folks. Oh yeah, the white folks, they're responsible for all these mass shootings and everything, which is not true. 75% of mass shootings are committed by black people. The only reason why we think it's by white people, because those are ones that make the news. Those are the situations that make the national news. That's the reason why we think that white people are more responsible for mass shootings than black people are. That's not true. You know why? Because a mass shooting involves at least 3 or 4 victims. So using that criteria, we probably have mass shootings in the United States probably every day. I know it's every week. But the ones that make the news are, you know, this white kid, you know, he doesn't like black people. He goes shooting up a school or whatever, or he has some political leaning. He goes shoot up a school and everyone's like, see, I told you, it's those white people. But this is the reason why I'm so hard on my fellow black folks. Because we need to take responsibility for our actions. And we're not doing that. Our leaders are not pushing for us to take responsibility for our actions. They're not going into the communities and saying, hey, you all, we need to stop this because we're making ourselves look bad. Instead, they always want to point the finger to somebody else. Oh, the reason why there's so much black-on-black crime is because once upon a time, the FBI, they shipped their guns into black neighborhoods. Oh, the reason why there's so much drug addiction among black people is because once upon a time, the FBI sent in secret agents to give drugs to black people. And that's why we are so caught up in drugs and crime. They are absolving themselves of personal responsibility. Now, when I was a kid, and they told me about the dangers of drugs, and I saw what these drugs can do to you, I was like, ooh, drugs are bad. I don't want to do that. I made it up in my mind. I'm not going to do drugs. I haven't so much as smoked weed. I said, I'm not going to do drugs. And I made my mind up when I was in elementary and junior high school. Ooh, I don't want to do drugs. So no one can sit there and tell me that the reason why black people are strung out on drugs and strung out on crime and why we're in prison and everything is because of the white system, the white people. I heard a statistic about the about crack cocaine and regular cocaine. They said the reason why they criminalized crack cocaine because more blacks were on that, and they wanted to see more black people go to jail. And they don't realize it was black legislatures that also voted to penalize people with crack cocaine. They say, well, the white people go to rehab centers, but black people go to jail. I ain't never been to jail for no crack cocaine because I won't use the mess. If you don't want to go to jail, don't use cocaine. Don't use any drug. Don't commit crimes. You know why I can say that I'm almost 55 years old and I've never been convicted of a crime? Because I don't do crime. You're not going to sit there and tell me that all those black men that are in jail today, they're there for no reason at all. Someone just snatched them off the street and put them before a judge. The judge hated black people. He said, "Nah, buddy, you going to jail." And that's why he's in jail. Nah, he committed a crime. Now, there are instances where people do end up in jail wrongfully. But that's not just black people. That's everybody, black, white, whoever. And I do believe that if a person is wrongfully committed of a crime and they spend at least 10 years in jail, when they come out of jail, they should be millionaires. You might disagree with me. That's fine. But I think they should be millionaires. Let's see. It says, Vincent, why would you shop with a black business or anyone that contribute to the likes of Maxine Waters? I don't. Why do you have black voices trying to include you in their mix with the age-old we and us? Yeah, that's another thing. And I was telling my wife, this is one thing I am so sick of when these so-called black leaders get out here and they talk about what all black people have gone through and we go through this. And I'm sitting there. The thing that ticks me off is these guys get out here and they act like that they speak for all of us. I was watching this lady on YouTube yesterday. And she was talking about why black men don't marry black women. Or what she was saying was, why are black women the least married group in this country? And she was saying it comes from slavery, because there is slavery. The slave masters disrespected the women. And black men had to endure that. And they said the reason why black men don't marry black women is because they're still trying to find themselves. So, and I'm not saying it verbatim, but this is along the lines of what she was saying. This is an older lady. Looked like she may have been in her 70s. And she was saying, well, you know, it's because of slavery, and we black women, we are so disrespected. We are the most disrespected. No, you're not. And I felt insulted when she was saying that, because she said the reason why black men disrespect their women is because of slavery. I said, I don't disrespect my wife. I don't know who you're talking about. I don't disrespect mine. And I don't understand these people that get up there and they talk like they talk for the rest of us. You don't talk for me. You don't speak for me. Oh boy, there's my chat room again. My chat room, is down again. I don't know what the heck is going on with that. But this lady was saying that, you know, when a black man gets money, the black women can't get to him because he's all immediately surrounded by the white women. I said, you got to be outside of your mind. Now, when I was growing up, to me, a woman is a woman, black, white, whatever and everything, but I prefer the black woman. Now, I wouldn't be too apprehensive about marrying a white woman, but I just prefer the black woman. That's just how it was with me. It wasn't because I was racist against white women. If me and a white woman, we got it all, we hooked up and everything and stuff like that, you know, be like, okay, I'm marrying a white woman. But white women are not surrounding a black man because he has money. I don't know where they get this. I don't know where they get this from. And yeah, Bianchi, what about them black slave masters? Yeah, there were black slave masters too. So, but she was saying, you know, and they talk like they talk for all of us. No, you don't talk for all of us. You don't know what you're talking about. They say things like, we're still in trauma over slavery. Who? Who's in trauma over slavery? How in the world can you be in trauma over slavery and you never went through it? I don't go around talking about, you know what, you know, we were in slavery, man. Shoot, I can't get nothing because I'm in slavery, because my ancestors were in slavery. I didn't go through slavery. I didn't go through it. And they act like they just, they're our spokesperson. I didn't make you my spokesperson. I don't know who told you that, that you can speak for me. I didn't give you that authority. And see, and when I get to talking like I do, people say, oh, you hate being black. Tell me anywhere in my words where I said I hate being black. Show that to me. You know, please, you know, pretend I'm from Missouri and show me. Oh, you hate your race. Okay, tell me where I hate my race. Please, tell me. I'm listening. Oh, you just want to play up to the white man. Play up to the white man. How you play up to the white man? To all the white people listening to this program right now, whether you're listening live or in the archives, can you please send me the document on how it is to be white, how I can be white? Because let me tell you something. I don't know how to be white. I just don't. I've been told this for decades. Oh, you trying to be white. How does one try to be white? First of all, I can't even change my skin color. How do you try to be? What is being white? Well, when you speak properly, that's being white. Because I want to be able to pronounce my words properly. Now I'm trying to be white. Because I don't want to talk like that. That means I want to be white. Where do y'all get this from? Robert, please, Mr. Garding, there's got to be a document. It's got to be one. Because people keep trying to tell me, there must be some kind of way I got to be white. There must be some step-by-step process for me to be white. It's got to be. Because people saying, you trying to be white. See, that's gaslighting. Because, see, that don't... So you don't have one? You don't have a manual on how to be white? Well, I tell you what, I'm gonna give you some homework. When I come back on this show in 2 weeks, I expect a 2,000 word essay from you on how it is to be white. Yeah, Piagi, because you do homework, you know. I got you there. Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. Now, Retta says she has the Coon manual. Now, if there's a Coon manual, there's got to be a manual out there on how I can be white. There's got to be. Y'all, I'm just being facetious here. I'm just joking here. It says, because you do homework. Pianchi says, because you do homework. Yeah. I'm a person, I love to read. You know, and I, some years ago, when I worked at this job, during the break time, I would crack open a book and start reading. And people were seen to be offended. Why you read so much? What do you mean, why do I read so much? Why do you do what you do so much? I just like to read. Man, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you one author I've gotten into lately here is Clive Cussler. He wrote Raise the Titanic. And I'm reading some other books of his. And I love me some Clive Cussler. I just recently bought three of his books from Barnes & Noble. You know, and I started doing that because I noticed I'm reading my Kindle a lot, and I want to go back to reading actual book. And that's just me. That's just me. But I love reading Clive Cussler novels, and I love to read. It's something I've always wanted to do, but because you're a bookworm, you're black, and you're a bookworm, something is wrong with you. When my mom told me that when I was in the first grade and I was reading on the third grade reading level, reading is an art I never wanted to let go. I've always wanted to stay a reader. And one thing I found out, when you read a lot, you get a lot of information. You get a lot of disinformation too. Don't get me wrong there. Says, you ever notice that it's always folks who look like you who get triggered because you don't fit the mold? I had a black person tell me she didn't know why I went to college because ain't no jobs out here. Yeah, might not be no jobs for you. Yeah, might not be no jobs for you because you want to sit around on your lazy butt and just complain about what white people are doing and everything instead of getting yourself out there and taking the same opportunities that white folks have in this country. We have the same opportunities. Some of us won't so much as take our kids to the library. And I know the library is getting a little corrupt right now, but, you know, I'm just speaking in general terms. You won't so much as take your child to the library to check out a book free. That is until you spend more time in your book than you're supposed to. Then you got to pay that library fee, but, you know, I digress. But some of you all won't even do that. When I was in sixth grade, I had to do a report on Nicaragua. Up the street from where I live was a library in Fort Washington, Maryland. That library is still there. A couple of years ago, I went to visit D.C. That library is still there. Went up there, got all the materials on Nicaragua, turned in my report. I got a B-. You know why? Because my mom and dad were like, hey, you going to do this report. But no, if you show any type of smarts like that, oh, you're a nerd, you're a geek, you're a dweeb. Okay, well, I'm a nerd, geek, and dweeb then. I bask in my dweebiness, you know. Oh, now Pianchi, okay. He said, my last book, Gravitation and Cosmology by Steven Weinberg. I never heard of him, but he said, I always purchase two books, one for me and one for my grandson. There it is. And what's so wrong with reading? What's so wrong with getting an education? What's so wrong with pronouncing your words properly? What's so wrong with wanting to get a step up from everybody else? What's so wrong with that? What's so wrong with noticing, hey, I see what everybody else is doing, but I don't want to go that way. I want to stand out from the crowd. I want to think for myself. But see, when you're part of the collective and you see somebody who quote unquote supposed to be part of your collective, you think everybody's supposed to think like you do. That collective thinking type of thing. No, uh-uh. Stand out from the crowd. That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do, is to stand out from the crowd. Just here recently, I fell into a little lag on my writing because I'm supposed to be writing a book, and fell into a little bit of procrastination. And I discovered a website called 750words.com. And ever since mid-March, you know, this year, you know, every day I try to write 750 words. I'm trying to get into the habit of writing because I'm going to write this doggone book. Sometimes I had to knock myself upside the head because procrastination is my kryptonite. If procrastination was a supervillain, it'd be Lex Luthor to my Superman. But I started doing 750 words, typing 750 words every day, trying to get into that habit. Because I want this book, because the reason why I wanted to get this book out the way is because I got another book I want to write, and I want to get into that habit of writing. And I've gotten up to 24 words a minute, you know, that's kind of slow, but, you know, that's about as fast as I can type. But I want to get into that habit because I want to, you know, there's some things I think that I can put down on paper that people might need to read. You know, I don't think I'm that important or anything like that, but I'm just saying, you know. But I'm trying to get into that habit. That's why I started, you know, getting books from Barnes & Noble instead of, you know, depending on my Kindle, which the Kindle is good, don't get me wrong, but I want to go back to the printed page too, you know, and that's why, you know, I started, you know, getting a book, and, you know, I'm reading a book by Clive Cussler right now called Marauder. And I'm going to tell you, them Clive Cussler books are excellent. I love them books. I love them. Yeah. I might need you to record your voice, and I might need to use it as an alarm clock to motivate me to get this done, because I hit a little lull in that thing. Oh, my gosh. My goodness. When that thing hits you, it's like, man. And I said, nah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to accomplish this. I'm going to get this done. Because my wife, she inspired me to do this. And I said, once I get this book out of the way, then I'm going to go to, you know, of course, the next book I want to write is called Black by Color Only. I definitely want to get on that book. Yeah, exactly. It gets you nowhere. It just it's like you spinning your wheels in the mud. That's all it does, you know. But I'm gonna overcome this thing. I'm getting that book written. Come hell or high water, you know how they say. But I like to write. I like to write. I like to read. I like to do all that type of stuff. I just started recently taking up photography, trying to get into that, you know. But people think if you're well-rounded and you got goals and you got things you want to do and everything, something is wrong with you. Won't you stay down here with us? Crab in a bucket syndrome. The grasshopper and the ant. You ain't got to do all that work. You know, just sit here and chill with me. No, I don't want to chill with you. Because you're going nowhere. I want to go somewhere. I don't want to sit here with you and just chill out. And then complain because opportunities don't seem to be coming for me. You got to go out there and find your opportunities. You know, I mean, that's just how I see it, you know. And I'm not sitting here trying to be all preachy and everything to everybody, but that's just how I see it. You know, I don't want to think like everybody else. That's why I tell people, you know, hey, yeah, I'm a black person, but that's as far as it goes. My blackness is skin deep. That's as far as it goes. But I bleed red just like everybody else, you know. But I always, you know, I always want to be striving for something, you know. At one time, I used to avoid challenges and everything, but now, you know, when you overcome a challenge, you know, that's one of the best feelings in the world. You're like, oh, my goodness, I actually accomplished something. But a lot of us will never know that because we want to make excuses because we think somebody else is going to come in and just mess up our own thing. So we just rather sit down and just wait till it comes. Instead of getting up on our own two feet and saying, you know what, I'm going to make something happen. Things are not just going to happen. It's not going to fall out of the sky, fall into your lap. You'd be like, oh, there it is. There are opportunities are out there waiting for you, the same opportunities that white folks have. And you can sit there and talk about privilege and everything all you want to. But let me tell you something. Them white people, they had to go up. They had to roll their sleeves up. They had to pull up their bootstraps. And they had to go out there and find the opportunities too. Those opportunities did not come to them simply because they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. They didn't sit around and then another white person said, hey there, fellow white neighbor. Hey, I got an opportunity for you. Here it is. Boom. Ooh, I got an opportunity. Oh, no, they went out there and they found opportunities on their own. The same thing any black person in this country can do. And if you see that, you know, you're falling behind a lot of other people, don't look at them. Look at yourself. Man, I could go on this rant. I can go on this rant for about 3 hours, but I have come to the end of the first hour, which means I have to do some advertisements. And when I am done, I will see you on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color only on CNM Radio.
Love America. You're among friends here. Conservative Nation Media is the one network where America always wins because we agree with Trump. Fake news is not where it's at. Advertising is one of the most effective ways to advertise your product or service. Thousands of people could be hearing your ad here. To start boosting your business with podcast advertising, go now to conservativenationmedia2017@gmail.com and send us a copy of the ad you want played, and we will do the rest. Thank you, and God bless.
Back to the show. We are at the top of the hour, and if you would like to be a guest to call into the show, Call-in number is 646-478-5284, 646-478-528. And Bianchi said something that provoked my thoughts. Excuse me. Right before the break, says in 2023, it makes no sense for many black students to be dwelling at the bottom of academic stats. And that is so true. That is so true. You know, in some cases, they'll lower the standards for black students so that they can get it, so that they can get a level up on white students. And I think that's about as racist as you can get, because basically you're saying that, okay, black students will never make the achievements that white students do because, you know, maybe white students are smarter or something like that. But that's what that's the scenario that it pervades, that, you know, white students are smarter, you know, so we got to give black students, we got to give them a little boost so that they can perform at the level of white students. You know, and I'm like, if someone ever came to me and said, you know what, we're just going to give you a little boost. I don't want your boost. I want you to know that I can achieve excellence just like anybody else. I don't need you patronizing me because, you know, like Coach Boone said in that movie, Remember the Titans? He said, all you're doing is crippling them. You're not helping these kids by patronizing them. He said, you know what? I might be a mean honorary cuss, but I'm a mean honorary cuss with everybody out there. He said, I don't take no excuses from anyone, especially the black kids. I think that was one of Disney's best movies before they started going woke. But don't come patronizing me and say, oh, you're a black person, oh, we know it's so bad for you. Who are you talking to? I don't need a leg up because, you know, you think that I'm not going to achieve as well as the white people. If I sit home and be lazy, just like a white person sit home and be lazy, you know what? It's going to make the same result. I'm going to have bad grades. I'm going to fall behind. White people do the same thing too. So don't sit there and tell me that I can't make the same achievements as a white person can simply because I'm black. And by the way, why is it always got to be black and white? Why don't we talk about the Hispanics? Why don't we talk about the Asians? Why don't we talk about those who come over here from Africa and exceed in everything? They come over here, they do their work, they study, a lot of them behave themselves. And next thing you know, they're achieving just like their white counterparts, just like their Asian counterparts. No one says anything about that. We always hung up in black and white. And I tell people this, and I know I say it constantly on this show. 1974, when I entered first grade, I was reading on a third grade reading level. 1974, tail end of the civil rights era. 1974, not 1984, not 1994, not 2004, 1974. 6 years after the death of Martin Luther King Jr. Don't give me this thing that black people can't get ahead in this country. And you know, I listen to people. They say, "Well, I've been to a black school, I've been to a white school, and I gotta tell you, the white schools have an advantage." No, they don't. No, they don't. So tell me how a black person cannot learn like a white person can. Do they just secretly say, yeah, we're just going to give them these books right here, you know, hey, you know, nobody's saying nothing. You can find the information yourself. Most of the information that I know, most of what I know right now comes from a 12th grade education and learning on my own. And see, when you instill a child with critical thinking skills, they will already have the propensity to say, hey, I see something. I want to learn about this. Let me go and see what I can learn about this thing. But when you don't have critical thinking skills, you're not going to investigate anything. You're just going to take someone's word at it. You're just going to accept the status quo. Anyone can come and tell you anything, and you'll just believe it because you lack the critical thinking. But I'm telling you, the most vital thing that we can teach our children today is critical thinking. That is the most vital thing. Teach them how something arouses their curiosity. They're like, wait a minute. Let me check this out. Let me see what this is about. Instead of, I don't feel like doing nothing. Let me play this video game. Now, if a child can play a video game and become good at it, a child can can develop the critical thinking skills that are necessary for the rest of their lives. But a lot of us, we don't teach our kids the critical thinking that they need. And I'm not talking about just in the schools. They need to learn it at home as well. Because that's where the basics of their is going into the bureaucrats' pockets. That's where that's going. But you got so many parents who are so career-minded, they're like, that's a teacher's job. That's not my job. I gotta work. Well, guess what? When you had that child, guess what? That's your job, too. That's work, too. But too many of us in the black communities, we don't think like this. We use that slavery is holding us back. We're traumatized from slavery. Get out of here with that mess. Oh, my goodness. Here come the fruit bats. All right, folks, that's my fruit bat alert. You want to just disrupt this program, indulge in ad hominem attacks and character assassinations and excess of profanity and things of that sort. You best hang up now, because if you don't, I will be happy to oblige you, okay? I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me, but just be respectful in your interactions on this show, okay? So having said all that, let me get this first caller. I had two of them in here. What happened to the other one? I guess I talked too much. I don't know. Hello, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's cracking, Pianki? What's up?
Well, how's our friend doing? Irondale.
Yeah. I think he's doing fine. I haven't talked to him in about a week and a half, but last time I talked with him, he's doing fine.
Oh, that's good. They came out with them JFK files where it alleged that Martin Luther King Jr. had love child. Bit it to Joanne Baez. You know who she is, though. She used to be a country, used to be a folk singer.
Joan Baez.
Yeah, Baez. Right.
Wait a minute.
She used to be, Joanne Baez. And she was at the 64 March on Washington. I think she contributed a song. Well, it was recently she's been hugging and walking hand in hand and singing with those two guys in Nashville, Tennessee.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Martin Luther King had a love child by her?
That's what they saying is in those JFK files.
Oh, wow. That's something I need to look into.
But, Martin Luther King was a man. Quite naturally, he's going to have desires for women. And you never know who you or when you may get a call and do something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No matter what you do, you're going to get a call to do that. And they ain't worried about your background. What did John the Baptist say? And he said that I baptize you with water, but none will come after me that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. So the Holy Ghost
and
fire.
You never know. Yes, you never look at Donald Trump. Look at Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And here he is doing what he's doing.
Yeah.
People like to talk about his father, but they don't talk about other people's fathers and the things that they did. Look at Emmett Till's daddy. Emmett Till's daddy used to beat the hell out of Emmett Till's mother. So Louis Till was his name. He went to court, and he was found guilty of battery and assault, and they gave him an option to go to prison or go to the Army. Well, he went to Army and was deployed over in Italy, and him and another guy raped two Italian women and killed another one. So
oh
he got
gosh.
Hung over there.
Hmm.
Didn't you learn that in school?
No, I didn't learn that. Mm-mm.
That's what I'm saying.
And
see,
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you, though. I didn't learn about Emmett Till until the mid-90s. It was
well,
never
you know,
thought
they
to
want
me.
To blame. They want to blame that woman, Miss Bryant. But Miss Bryant, they don't know if that was her in the car. It was dark, and they just heard someone, that's the one. But they didn't say go out and kill him, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
they
she just died a couple of days ago, you know, and a lot of people like, oh, justice has been served because she's died and everything. Well, we really don't know the story of what
you don't know
actually
the story
happened.
Of what went down. And then, too, it might have been karma. The sins of the father follow the son. We've heard that.
Yeah.
African use that. That's why they say so many blacks in America is cursed. From what their ancestors done back in them tribes and villages on the African continent. But that woman never, nobody even know if that was her. It was a woman in the dark that said, that's him. That's it from what I read.
Yeah.
It didn't say go out and kill him, go hang him, go lynch him, go murder him.
No, no.
This stuff is getting to be ridiculous.
And, the funny thing about it was I was never taught about Emmett Till by my folks, and they were mucho black. They never taught about it to us in school. And I just happened to take a trip to Baltimore. They have a wax museum up there that's dedicated to black folks. I took a trip with an academy that I was working at. Here in Durham, they went to Baltimore, and they have a black folks wax museum. And that's when I first heard about Emmett Till. And I was like, boy, I never heard of Emmett Till, be honest with you. You know, and this was like 94, 95. And I'm like, well, dog, how come I'm just learning about this now? And then it seems like when you learn something, then all of a sudden all this information just rushes in, you know, and you're hearing about it all the time and stuff like that. You know,
it's always one-sided.
It's always one-sided, you know. Nobody gives you a chance to, you know, hear both sides of the story or anything like that. What happened to Emmett Till was horrible. I'm not going to sit here and say that what happened to him wasn't racially motivated. A lot of people think that I tried to ignore what happened to black people back then. It was horrible. Whoever played a part in his death, they should never have seen the light of day for the rest of their lives. But,
well,
we're not living in that time of day.
Do you know how the husband found out? Ms. Bryant's husband? Ms. Bryant's husband was also abusive to her. You know, men back in those days were abusive to women.
Yeah.
It was
black
women that worked at the store that told on Emmett.
Well, seriously?
Yes.
Now, see, that's a detail I ain't heard myself.
In Money, Mississippi, and I think it was his uncle that gave him up. So here he is when he was there looking for him.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. Mm-mm.
There's a woman who has a blog talk radio show around Dallas, Fort Worth, and there's Carrie Hines. I think she went to Money, Mississippi, and does some research and interviews. Hell, she could tell you that.
Oh, wow. And see, I never really went into depth into learning about Emmett Till. A lot of what I heard was what I've heard people say. I've been to the Civil Rights Museum in Greensboro, and they showed a picture of Emmett Till in the casket, which was horrible. Man. When I was in that museum, I did feel emotional. But the thing about it is, it didn't get me to the point where I hate white people. Y'all did this to us. You know, I was like, hey, that was a time past. That's a time that we're no longer going through. My parents went through it. My grandparents went through it. You know, and I'm just thanking God that I didn't have to go through it. You know.
Well, wonder why come people didn't tell you about the black clerks that was working there at the store that told
her. Yeah, no one. Yeah.
Why do you think they didn't tell them?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it seems that the jury, it was brought up on what his father was like, and that helped persuade the jury in the trial where they didn't find those people guilty.
Wow.
You know, when you file and go over in another country and rape two white women and one was killed. And somebody need to check on that. I may be off a little bit and not too much. But
well,
they was caught
mostly
was lynched in the military.
Wow. Yeah, and really a lot of the stories we hear from the Jim Crow and times of slavery, we really do need to take an in-depth research into what really went on. And folks, when I say that, I'm not saying that black people did not suffer oppression in this country. I am not saying that at all, you know, because somebody will probably take my words and twist it around and say, oh, you saying we black people didn't go through anything. No, I'm not saying that at all. You know, a lot of what happened back in the day, it was very horrible. You know, Medgar Evers and Martin Luther King. But one thing I do understand too is there are some discrepancies, like with the video footage we saw of the police sicking the dogs on the children who were protesting. At that time, protests probably weren't necessary because the tide was changing on racism in this country. But they just kept trying to push the issue and, you know, and put those kids in the way. And, you know, that's where we got the footage of those dogs attacking those children. But, you know, the tide was turning on racism in this country. And I think that when that event happened in 1965, if I'm correct, with the dogs.
I don't know. No, it was before that. Oh, you mean the march. That was 63, 64 leading up into there.
Okay.
Black was totally, totally against that. I tell you, one prominent black person who was. It was the rich person there, the wealthy gentleman there in Memphis, Gaston, A.G. Gaston.
Okay.
It was either E.G. or A.G. Gaston. Gaston was a very, very rich man, a business person. He started, he had an ice cream business called Brown Cow that went out of business because his employee was stealing the sugar.
Oh, my goodness. It's still in the sugar.
It's still in the sugar.
Oh,
his wife,
goodness.
Minnie Gaston. Oh. Go ahead.
Oh, I was in Alabama, by the way. Oh, okay. I was going to ask you, since you seem to have a little bit of age on me and everything, do you remember any of this going on when you were coming up?
No, I didn't live in the South.
Oh, you didn't
live
in the South?
But I found out about it.
Oh, okay.
Well, see.
So, wait a minute.
He built a hotel convention kind of center so that people could have meetings there, and civil rights activists had meetings there. Then you had the mother civil rights. They used to call him Uncle Tom. And he's doing that kind of stuff.
Wait a minute. No, see, now you just threw me off now. So you mean to tell me
he called him Uncle Tom because he was against using children the way they was using them to be water holes and have dogs fixed on them. And he was against that. And he said, that ain't going to get no place. He had a meeting with the business people, the white business people, because he was one, and told them they need to, you know, take those signs down off the water fountains, and that they did.
So you mean to tell me when you grew up, you know, I don't know what your age is or anything like that, none of this stuff ever, you know, it never, you never had to go to a separate water fountain or a separate bathroom or a separate hotel or something like that?
In my high school, our water was chill. Our water fountain was chill. It wasn't like to stand up alone. We had like about four different, you know, handles you turn, the water come out and be chill, ice cold water.
Oh, my goodness. So when you hear people talk about, well, the white folks this and the white folks that and slaves built this country and everything, I mean, what does that do to you when you hear that type of talk?
I know better. Slaves didn't build this country. The buildings that they build don't look nothing like where they came from. It looked like what was going on in Europe.
That's something, I tell you. But
slaves
also
had their own business.
Yeah, but to hear people talk about it, this was like a nationwide thing, you know. But oh man, I tell you, you know, you might be a two-footed time capsule. I might glean from your knowledge from every now and then.
They got an Ohio GOP candidate just suggesting that reparations for whites, Civil War Union soldiers.
Yeah, I saw that. You know, I'm like, hey, if they can ask for so-called descendants of slaves, why not ask for reparations for those 600,000 white men that gave their, well, this is 600,000, that includes both sides, but I don't know how many thousand died in the North.
White men and boys gave their life, and blacks too. You had some blacks fought for the Confederacy because it was a business interest.
Yeah, so you can ask for, you know, reparations for the descendants of slaves. Why not ask for reparations for the descendants of the people who fought to free the slaves? You know, I mean, it makes sense.
Those white men, they died, left their wives with kids. She had to fend for themselves, couldn't take part in economics where they could pass on generational wealth to their future generations. Well, he lost his life trying to defend and protect the Union and also wanted to end black slavery. Nothing's heard about that.
Yeah. And I know there are people saying, no, that's different. You had 600,000 white men get killed in the Civil War, fighting over, you know, part of it was about slavery. You know, I mean, if it's good for the former slave, the descendants of the slaves, it's good enough for them too. You know, so they'll probably get a little quiet about it after that. I don't know.
Yeah, they do. I was discussing about the greatness of Robert E. Lee. Robert E. Lee was a superb leader.
Yeah.
And he fought in many wars. And you get people saying that, well, he fought to preserve slavery. Well, the war wasn't about slavery because Lincoln himself said that he wanted to save the Union. He wasn't thinking about saving slaves, freeing slaves.
Yeah. Yeah.
said if he could save the union without freeing one slave, he would do it.
Yeah.
And that was wrong because those states said we don't want to be a part of you no more. Just like your the wives said, I don't want you no more. I'm divorced. I don't want you no more.
Yeah.
Robert E. Lee was asked by Lincoln initially to leave the North. And he said he wouldn't do it. He said he wouldn't fight against his country or his state, Virginia. He
yeah.
said he couldn't understand
yeah.
a president that would fight against their own people.
Yeah. And that's where we get that flag everyone calls the Confederate flag. But it's not the Confederate flag. It's the flag of the Army of Northern Virginia, you know. And they say, you know, that's a racist symbol and everything. But that symbol really symbolized the Army of Northern Virginia. You know, most of us, if we saw the Confederate flag, we wouldn't even know what it looked like because that was not the Confederate flag. The St. Andrew's cross and with the stars in it, that's not the Confederate flag.
Yeah.
And also another thing about Robert E. Lee, you know, it was illegal for him to do it, but his wife and daughter had a school that taught black slaves how to read. That's something they don't tell you.
You're right. You got these black groups don't want to have that type of information disseminated.
And every time they tear down a statue of Robert E. Lee, I'm like, y'all really don't understand what you're doing, do you? You really don't. First of all, you know, it's not going to take away what happened back in the past. You know, like I always tell people, history is a stain you can't wash out of the fabric of time. You know, history is there for us to learn. We could go back to it. It's like the pages of a book. You know, you done read through the book and everything. You say, wait a minute, there's a point in that book. Let me go to this book. Oh, okay, there it is. You know, tearing down statues is not going to make the problem go away. No more than, you know, giving millions of dollars of reparations to black folk, that's going to make everything better. It's not going to take away what has already happened. What you do is learn from the past and keep going on into your future. That's the best way to overcome what happened in your past.
Yeah, that's right. So anyway, I see where the gun ban in Illinois was, the courts came out and ruled to put that on hold. You got these Democrats always trying to see, Vince, I ain't shot nobody. I have misused my weapon at all. But you got idiots out there that are, and they want to punish me for what they're doing. Want to take my guns. Say, I can't have this, I can't have that. What the hell?
Yeah.
I didn't do nothing wrong.
I ain't never
been to jail. I've only had one moving violation in my life.
Oh, wow, really?
One.
Stop lying. You're a black man. You're supposed to have a whole bunch of them, man.
I know. So why in the hell they want to pass legislation that's going to take my freedom to own weapons? I ain't never done nothing wrong with no weapons.
Yeah.
I let a woman sit there. I got a revolver. I cock the hammer and set it on the bed and wake up the next morning, the hammer's still cocked. The gun ain't went off by itself. See, I'm going to shoot Pianca in the damn foot.
that's like saying we need to stop selling steak because somebody got choked to death on a steak.
Yeah. There's some idiots out there that's doing that. Then you don't punish them. They got to show you them stats to tell you who the face of crime is in this country.
Exactly.
So if you got that information, why don't you go after the ones that's committing all the damn crime? But wait a minute. Hell, we'll get caught up in that too, because guess what? Our face is quote-unquote what? Black.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting that you said that because I just pulled up an article. This article is dated April the 18th of this year, so it wasn't too long ago. And I get this on the New York Post. It says 9 months 9-month pregnant woman killed by teens who opened fire on car in case of mistaken identity. And it says a Louisiana woman who was 9 months pregnant was killed along with her unborn child when three teenagers opened fire on her car in an apparent case of mistaken identity. Carisha Johnson, 36, was found dead in her car after she was shot early Sunday morning while trying to pick up partygoers at a teen party in Baton Rouge, according to an arrest warrant obtained by ABC News. It was just senseless, Deanna Williams, a childhood friend of Johnson, told WBRZ she was an innocent person. Johnson was due to give birth within several days. Police arrested three 19-year-olds in connection to the shooting, Marquise Porch, Gregory Parker, and Derek Curry. Police said that Johnson was driving to the party when several individuals shot at her white sedan. The shooters apparently believed the car to belong to somebody else. A similar car had fired shots in the air while driving by the party earlier in the night, according to the warrant. Johnson tried to flee but was fatally struck in the barrage. Now, the lady who was pregnant, this is a black woman. She was killed by three black 19-year-old thugs. Where are the protests? Did you see any protests in Baton Rouge, Bianchi? Any protests going on in Baton Rouge?
No, I didn't.
You know, and see, when I do this type of stuff, people say I'm caping for the white folks. This girl, this lady was black, 36 years old. Where are her protesters? Where the,
well, just like in Chicago, yeah,
Black Lives Matter. I mean, for real.
You got, they locked up, they caught two girls ages 13 and 15 robbing women in the Chicago Loop. 13 and 15.
Yeah.
What the heck's going on with that?
Yeah. Shoot, we, a few years ago, had a couple of 13-year-olds rob a cab driver up in D.C., killed the guy.
Look at that Sweet 16 party in Alabama. Yeah,
yep.
These three black teens is charged with murder. And I don't know why they would have teenagers at a party at 10:45 at night any damn way.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care if it's a weekend either. You know, they shouldn't be there.
Going to prison.
But this is the type of stuff that's going to keep on going on every time, you know, because this is going to keep going on because we don't take the responsibility on ourselves. The parents don't want a parent. They just let the kids do whatever. And then when the kids do something and something happens to their children as a result, they want to sit there and cry, my baby. Well, you should have been a mother or father to your baby, and maybe your baby wouldn't be in so much trouble, you know. And it breaks my heart every time I look up and I see these little black thugs right here. And the first thing that comes to my mind, the parents. What are the parents doing? Nothing, you know. And they don't even take a part in their kids' lives. They don't take a part in their upbringing. They don't take a part in their education. They just let them go on. You know, hey, kids will be kids.
Well, it's just ridiculous, man. I tell you, it's just so ridiculous the stuff that's going on. And we ain't talking about no whole lot of people in the country. We talk about the black population.
No, we're not talking about a whole lot of people.
In 2023, it don't make no sense for so many black kids can't read and do math. 75% in California can't read. Then look at these other cities, Philadelphia, Chicago, 50 schools in Chicago, black Philly, 50 schools can't read. It don't make no damn sense. And that ain't no white person. So ain't no white folks
around. No, they ain't no white. No, they, you know, we can't cry about the white person with that. you know, Baltimore really, to me, takes the cake because Baltimore is basically a chocolate city. And they said they couldn't find one black student in Baltimore who was proficient in math or reading. I said, now, how in the world are these schools still operating? Are you serious? Not one? And they said they couldn't find one. I said, you got to be kidding me.
Where is Sarge at?
Sarge? I don't know where Sarge is. Where is... I don't know. He might come now that he hears us. I don't know where Sarge is. I know the last couple of times Sarge has been in the chat room, but he never came to the phone or anything. I hope everything is all right with him. You know, I know he's kind of up there in age.
Actually, almost every day. He was okay yesterday.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he was okay yesterday. But that's about it. You know, the Republicans wanted to pass this raise the debt ceiling. I don't understand them. They want to raise the debt ceiling. Then they come up with a plan to cut the debt by $3 trillion in 10 damn years.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
You know, in 10 years, the interest is going to be higher than what you're saving. The interest on the debt today in 10 years is going to take it. That's where the increases are going to come off from the interest. You got to cut these damn programs. Nobody wants to cut programs. Well, hell, if you don't cut the programs, it's just like if you don't pay your damn cable bill. They're going to cut it off.
Yeah. And how about
adding on. Then they got this damn Joe Biden scheme where they gonna penalize you if you got good credit.
Yeah, I was about to go there. raise your mortgage by $40. You know, dude, what are you doing? You know, oh, they're rich, they got it, but I guarantee you, they won't have to fall under that law. All these bureaucrats and everything, they won't have to fall under that law, but the common citizens will. But we live in cuckoo banana town now, you know, and it caused me to chuckle the other day when Joe Biden announced that he was running for reelection. And I'm like, dude, you actually think you're going, well, you know, I said this the last election. I'm sitting there like, dude, you really think you're going to win, you know, after people done seen what you are capable of and seen what you have done, you know, I think that radio personality, Charlemagne the God, has turned against him. That was a guy that Joe Biden was telling him, said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. You know, I think Charlemagne the God done turned on him, you know. And people...
I think that was in South Carolina, wasn't it? When you went to the church?
I think so. Yeah, and I think, people are... I don't know what could happen between now and November of next year. It doesn't look like the allegations that have been conjured up against Donald Trump are going to stand. It doesn't look like they're going to pass. It looks like Donald Trump is going to come out of that one squeaky clean again. And like I said, I think I said it last week, I think the Democrats are getting a little desperate. And like I said, I won't be surprised if someone actually attempts to take Donald Trump out. I won't be surprised. Not saying that it's going to happen.
They might indict me and you.
Yeah. We heard y'all on that radio program. Yeah, we're going to take y'all before Congress. I'd be like, y'all don't want me to be in front of Congress. Y'all really don't. I'll be like, oh, my goodness, y'all should not have done this. I've been waiting for this opportunity. Let me tell y'all something.
That deal with Fox and Dominion, I think that's a setup. I think the Democratic National Committee, Fox News, and Dominion got some plan for 2024.
One thing I think
Tucker Carlson, they're talking in favor of Donald Trump. Well, that hurts right there.
Yeah.
Then Dominion, they just received $700 billion. Well, that could be a payment to do what you did with the voting machines in 2020.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that deal, that settlement is kind of fishy to me. It really is. And then, you know, Tucker Carlson being, was he let go or did he just quit? Or did they ask for his resignation? Because I'm not getting the stories here. I keep hearing he's getting fired, but then I hear people say, no, he just walked off. Or I don't know what the deal is, you know. But folks are celebrating, you know, Tucker Carlson leaving Fox News. They're like, yay, yippee, yahoo. I'm like, ain't nothing to celebrate because Tucker Carlson can find him another platform. He's like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be held down by Fox anymore. I can find my own platform. I can be another Bill O'Reilly, you know. And, you know, I ain't got no restraints on me, so I'm just going to let loose. I'm really disappointed in Fox News because Fox News, they were always a scapegoat for everything that's going on in the media and everything, and now they done turn on one of their own, and they think that's going to gain them favor with more people, and it's not, and it's already showing in the rankings, in the TV rankings. You know, when they fired Tucker Carlson, that was their boy right there. That was their money man right there. You know, I mean, how many people was watching him every night? 1 million, something like that?
Well, he was
and now
sold
he's
out.
Gone, the number one boy.
He was sold to the butcher block. He was sold to the butcher's block. I keep telling you what they're trying to do. They're setting things up for the 24 election. You're going to see some more same old machines doing the same thing that they've done in 2020.
Yeah. Now, having said all that, knowing that they're going to do the same thing, would you say that it is still essential for us to continue voting if we know this is going on? And I'm just asking, this is just out of curiosity.
You're absolutely right.
Because
it's like, right. We need to, I tell you what else, if there's legal ballot harvesting in a state, we need to be stuffing them down ballots just like they do.
Exactly. Hey, it's fair game. Hey, y'all did it. It's fair game. It's not my favorable way of getting a vote out, but hey, if y'all made it fair game, don't come crying when we do the same thing. You know, because y'all did the same thing. Don't sit there and talk about, okay, y'all stuffed the ballots and everything and stuff like that, because y'all did that thing and y'all were like, we won fair and square. Like, oh, okay, so you want to change the rules of the game? Okay, let's do that. That's why I say, you know, hey, do the same thing that they did. And like I said, it's not what I think would be the most favorable way to do an election or anything like that, but hey, they change the rules. Okay, we'll go along with it. And they'll be like, well, okay, they're on to us now and everything. But you think they're going to do the same thing that they did in 2020?
I really do. Yeah, it worked, didn't it? Why wouldn't it?
My motive thinking, that's true. Because my motive thinking is, you know, maybe people would be a little wise to it, and they might say, you know what, let's try something different. But you know what? You might be right.
Not only did it work, but they got people believing that it never did happen. That it's just a conspiracy.
Yeah. That is until Dinesh D'Souza and his bunch, you know, showed us what really went on during the election. You know, I'd advise anybody to watch that again. 3,000 Mules. That was a great movie.
1,000.
I might watch that when I... 1,000. I'm sorry.
I forget.
It's 1,000 something somewhere in it. I need to watch that movie again, you know, because I would give that my nomination for documentary of the year, really. You know, that was pretty good. A lot of in-depth journalism went into that, you know, and you were like, wow. If you didn't believe that, you know, they were doing something crooked during the 2020 election, after that, if you still didn't believe it, I would think you would be in denial, really, because that was just too blatant. But now that they've changed the game, you know, they changed the rules and say, okay, all right, we'll go along with you. They need to turn out for early voting, you know, because the Democrats love the early voting. They love that. You know, I say, hey, turn out in numbers on the early voting. Hey, if they feel like they can do it, why can't you do it? You know, it should be illegal, you know. But if they want to look at it and say, you know, no, that ain't fair. Okay, well, it ain't fair when we do it, but it's fair when you do it. Okay, we got you. You know, no, we're going to play along with you.
Yeah, it looked like this black judge is advancing Kim Gardner's prosecution in St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah, that woman is sad, man. I mean, she just sad.
Yeah, that's true, though.
Always talking about racism from the white police officers and all that old crazy stuff. Cori Bush is the same way.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, good news that I just learned a few days ago, our Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, he said he's going to run for governor of North Carolina. And I'm like, bravo. He's our Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson.
He's your black guy. Black Lieutenant Governor, right?
Say that again.
Is he African American?
Yeah. Uh huh. Yep.
He's
already coming out against him. Say that again.
He just won the lieutenant governor seat, didn't he?
Yeah, he just won it. Same year that Donald Trump lost the election. Yeah, but when I saw. What he stood for during these past 4 years, I'm sitting there like, this guy might need to run for governor. And I was hoping he would run for governor. And my wife told me the other day, said, yep, he's running for governor.
Hmm.
I think he will be a great governor. I think he will be great as a governor in North Carolina. You know, that dude we got now, Roy Cooper, he needs to get to step in. Roy Cooper's been there for too long. I think Roy Cooper's been here for like, 8-12 years maybe. He needs to get to stepping. You know, that's the thing about North Carolina. North Carolina is poised for somebody to step in and do the right thing. You know, they say we're a red state, but it doesn't seem like one to me. It really doesn't. We got a lot of things that are, you know, are benefiting the state. You know, the Raleigh area is growing by leaps and bounds, and people are moving to this area and whatever. Can't say much for the city I live in, Durham. I can't say much for Durham, because it seems like every time I look up, Durham is, you know, turning into a shooting gallery and everything, and people on my job are like, Vincent, you live in Durham? I'm like, yeah. And they said, nah, I wouldn't live in no Durham. I'm like, well, you know, what can I say, you know? But they'll tell you that this area is growing by leaps and bounds. But I tell them, make it more specific. It's Raleigh and Chapel Hill. That's where the Tar Heels play. You know, those might be growing by leaps and bounds. But Durham, you know, Durham needs a lot of prayer. You know, they're too proud of their black women in Durham.
Well, you're right. But anyway, you about ready to go off, so I'm gonna get off here.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate it. I wish I had more people on here, but hey, that's how it goes sometimes. But just to let you know, I won't be having a show next week. So you come up, you be like,
I'll let the fruit bats I let the fruit bats out on Thursday and lock the doors.
And Sarge, if you're listening, man, we miss you, man. We miss you, Sarge.
That's right. All right, then, Vincent, you take care of yourself, you and your wife, and enjoy yourself. Be careful.
Okay. All right, you do the same.
All right, bye-bye.
And I see Robert Garding is still here, and Robert Garding is the guy who owns this whole shebang and everything, and always appreciative of him allowing me to do a show out here and everything, you know. But next week I won't be having a program next week. And on the 20th, I won't be having a program. My wife and I were going out of town, you know, spending some time out of town and whatever. Folks, just to reiterate what I was saying, I'm not what you would call a tribalist. I don't care what your affiliation is, what your party is, what your group is or whatever. If I happen to be part of that group, it does not mean that I'm going to take up for you if you're caught up in some dirt. You know, I'm going to point you out just like anybody else. You know, we might share the same views politically or religiously or, you know, anything like that. But if you get caught doing something that you shouldn't be doing, you know, I'm going to point you out. That's just how it is. I'm going to point out your wrongdoing. Hey, dude, you need to straighten up, you know, because what happens when we turn the other, turn a blind eye to what's going on? It perpetuates the corruption and it makes it worse. So whenever we see something that we know is going on and it's wrong, it is our responsibility as individuals to point out that wrong. You know, here lately, you know, there's this famous preacher in the United States. I'm not going to mention his name, but he's been caught up in defending child pedophiles and all that type of stuff. And a lot of people, they're like, they respect this preacher so much that they don't want to call him out on his wrongdoing, you know, and all that's going to do is cause corruption to perpetuate in the churches. You know, same thing politically. You know, if you see one of your conservative buddies doing something that they shouldn't be doing, you know, you got to point it out, because that's how corruption is allowed to flow unchecked, because we turn a blind eye to what's going on. And we think, you know, oh, ain't nothing going to happen. Ain't none of my business. You know, that's the thing a lot of people like to say. They say, that ain't none of my business. It is your business, because you sit there thinking that's not going to affect you. And then the corruption continues to grow bigger and stronger. And then one day you're looking up and you're like, well, I didn't see this coming. But someone warned you. Someone said, hey, this is what's going on. We gotta point this out. You know, we can't just sit there and turn a blind eye to one of our own when they get caught up in something. You know, we got to speak out. You know, yeah, we got to be snitches. You know, you hear people say, oh, I ain't no snitch. You know, and the people keep saying snitches get stitches. Well, those are the people. Excuse me. Those are the people who don't want you to point out their dirt. They don't want you to point out their crimes. They don't want you to point out their wrongdoings. And so they use that as an intimidation factor, say, snitches get stitches. But you need to be a snitch if you know that this is going to, you know, this thing is going to affect a lot of people. You can't turn around and say, oh, this is none of my business. I ain't got nothing to do with that. But then when it comes up on you, don't sit there and cry and say, well, how come somebody didn't do anything? How come someone didn't help? Well, did you help? Did you make a difference when you knew you could? Or did you just say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to go home, turn on my TV, and watch some Netflix, you know? But anyway, that's it for my little mini rant. Kind of winged it a little bit today and whatever, but like I said, next week I won't have a program. And you all, you know, take care of yourselves, stay safe out there, You know, God willing, see you in another 2 weeks. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. You all stay safe out there.